Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you are, you want to join the conversation, come to reallibertymedia.com. Get in the chat room, say hello. Let's start a conversation or a debate, whatever. I'm good with it all if I do happen to check the chat room. I try and keep an eye on it. But you know, it gets busy when you're doing a podcast. Sometimes you always don't get right on it. Man, I have so many things I really wanted to cover again today. Actually, there's not that many, but I think there's some pretty interesting stuff. I hope you guys find it interesting. I just feel like some really big changes are coming to Real Liberty Media. I'm really grateful for it. We're looking for more shows. So if you have an interest in doing a podcast, doing a live show, come on over to Real Liberty Media, you know, or text us, get in the chat room. You can probably mail me, I guess, at redneckdentist@redneckdentist.com. I think that works. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, but we're going to stick with it. I really believe I have redneckdentist.com, so let's go with it. Okay, I have, always like to start the show with some, wait a minute. There's a couple things I forgot right off the bat. Number one, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left, so enjoy the show. And speaking of NASCAR, I just want to kind of put out there, if you guys didn't see last week's NASCAR truck race, oh my God. Okay, like I know a lot of people think that NASCAR is boring. I get it. You know, mostly they do oval tracks, you know, and it's just round after round and people hate that. I happen to love it. I've always loved NASCAR, kind of like football, love football, you know. It's just one of those things. But last weekend, I'm not kidding, this was the funniest flipping thing ever. So the trucks, let me see, how did this go? Yeah, the trucks were in mid-Ohio. The Xfinity Series, which I kind of call the junior league or junior varsity. So the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series were in Atlanta. Well, what that means is that the teams, the pit crews, you know, like a lot of these guys use the same pit crew, you know, because they're companies, they're corporate-owned racing teams, and they have the same pit crews, you know, throughout all three races. Well, so one race was in Ohio, and the other two races were in Atlanta. They didn't have any pit crew for the trucks being the junior, you know, real junior league. Anyway, so NASCAR, this is what they did. They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you 3 minutes to do a pit stop, and you're not going to gain or lose any positions while you're in the pits. And the reason they did that is because they just had, like, whoever on the pit crew. And I got to tell you, the one guy that really made me laugh kind of looked like me trying to carry a tire around the car. Like he looked like he was maybe 55 to 65 years old, probably had some kind of knee problem like I have, and, you know, kind of out of shape. He was just kind of carrying this tire on his hip and just kind of limping around the car. Now, if you ever have seen NASCAR, you know it takes like 13 and a half seconds to do 4 tire changes, a full tank of gas, and maybe some adjustments, you know, on the spoiler or downdraft or springs or whatever. Like 13 seconds, they're in and out, man. Oh, this guy, it took him longer than 13 seconds just to walk around the car. And I'm telling you, it made me laugh so hard. Like I was laughing for the entire 3-minute pit stop because they were showing everybody in the pits and all their different crew members that were all kind of like, it was probably like, you know, they show up at the track, hey, how would you like to be on the pit crew today? And people are like, hey, yeah, I'd love to be on a pit crew. And they didn't realize like how much work it is and you get all this safety gear. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, it was one of the most entertaining things I've seen in a long time. And if I talked about that last weekend, sorry, you heard it again, but I'm telling you, it was so flippin' funny. It was worth every minute of it. All right. I want to say this. I am so thankful to have family here on the homestead. We are trying to get a bunch of stuff done in a short period of time. And, of course, we're growing food. We're raising chickens for eggs. And we're starting the meat chicken process where we're going to be hatching our own chickens and all that stuff. And then we're kind of having a little family reunion later on this month. I forget what day that is, probably June 30th or something like that. And we're trying to get the place like really spiffed up, and we're putting a little stage in because, well, there's a lot of musically talented people in the extended family, not me, but others. And they're going to like play... Oh, July. Yeah, sorry. July 30th. They're going to be playing some instruments, like playing some guitar, lead guitar, bass guitar. There's some drummers. People are going to sing, do karaoke, and we're giving out prizes for that. The reason we're doing this is because there's Rochelle's brother and sister-in-law are coming up from California. And then the other brother lives in Hillsboro, which is 30, 40 miles away. And, you know, just everybody's going to kind of come and hang out and we'll have a good time. So it's so awesome to have people that are all, you know, pulling the wagon in the same direction. Give you an example. So we're doing all this work, you know, in our spare time. Well, you know how it goes, man. You got, you know, you work. And then you have your own time and you got to get stuff done. I'm grateful that we have family here. Some people that just work here, you know, they work here. This is what they do for their job, man. And I am grateful for them. And for the others of us that work and work here, you know, we only have a certain amount of time to get stuff done. Okay. So here's what happened. Had the John Deere out. We were trying to level out an area, putting some road cloth down and some gravel and stuff so we could park this gigantic camp trailer. It's an Airstream, a reconditioned Airstream. We're trying to get that all done. And somebody noticed Sammy, of all people, you know, Sammy, the mechanic. We call him Hank Snow. He finds a bolt out there, like where the tractor had been working. And he says, hey, he tells his dad, Sheck, he's like, hey, Dad, this bolt is from the tractor. Remember, Sammy's 7. And Sheck looks at it and goes, yeah, I think it is. And we start looking, and the dang bracket that holds the front loader on, it has like 8 bolts on each side holding it to the tractor. 5 of them on one side had sheared off, which is kind of concerning, if you ask me. Like 3 more, and the dang bucket would have come off the tractor, and not in a good way. So it was kind of good that everything got halted in time before there was like serious damage done and all that. But, you know, then we had these sheared off bolts in the frame of the frickin' tractor. And, you know, we had to get them out. Well, you know, You have to go get some really good drill bits. Like if you buy, I'm just going to tell you now, if you buy drill bits like in a kit at Lowe's, Home Depot, Harbor Freight, God forbid. I love Harbor Freight, don't get me wrong. But Harbor Freight to me is like single-use tools in a way. Or like disposable tools, I guess I would call it. So like if you go to Harbor Freight and you pay $20 for a socket set, and you break a socket, guess what? It was going to break. I mean, it was going to break. So, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. You paid $20 for a socket set, okay? If you break the freaking ratchet, guess what? It's a cheap piece of crap. It was going to break. Okay, no big deal. So we went down to Napa and got like real drill bits and drilled out the bolts that had sheared off in the frame. And then tapped them out of there, what do you call it, easy out. We easy outed them. And, well, we didn't. That's my point. I didn't do it. I went and got the parts. Sheck actually did the drilling and the tapping or whatever you call that, the easy out. And got those bolts out. We got it all back together. It's working fine. We're back in business. Now, let me tell you a little something. Like, so on some of this heavy equipment, and my tractor is not gigantic, I know that, but it's just a regular tractor. It's not a compact or subcompact, it's just a regular tractor. You have to use like hardened bolts in those things. You can't go to Lowe's, which has a great selection of hardware, and buy, you know, a carriage bolt or whatever, because it's not hard enough. Like, if we would have had crappier, you know, if John Deere would have used softer bolts, which I'm sure, yeah, actually, these are 10s, Vinny. If it would have had 8s in it, they probably would have sheared much sooner. So anyway, I went to John Deere, and, oh, Tractor Supply is another great place to get parts. Absolutely. So I went to John Deere today to get these bolts. I was so lucky. I walk in the store. There's nobody in there, the shop there. And I had a bolt in my hand, and the guy said, is that for... It's kind of funny. I'm just like walking across the floor toward the counter. And he goes, is that for a such and such baler? And I look at him. I go, no. Why? And he goes, because I just sold my last ones. And I was like, oh, okay. No, and I told him what it was for. And he goes, and I hand it to him. He looks at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I can match this. And he goes and looks. And he was going to match it with a grade 8 bolt. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, this has to be a 10. I go, yeah, it has to be a 10. And he goes back to look. And he only had 5. And guess what? 5 is how many I sheared off out of 16. Wait. Out of 16, wait. Well, anyway, 5 out of 16, I think, I sheared off. All on one side, which is kind of crazy. The left side didn't shear, the right side, all of them, 5 out of 8 sheared off. Anyway, so I took all 5 of the ones he had, which was awesome, because this time of year, you don't want to be waiting for parts. You know, other places are harvesting. It's harvest season. You know, they got to get crops cut down, processed, you know, wheat, I don't know, rye, whatever else they're growing now. Well, corn isn't done yet, but hay, a lot of hay is done now. Probably one cut was done maybe a couple weeks ago. And actually some of those places are, you know, starting their second cut on their hay. And you can't be broken down. And while the guy was helping me, he told me, this is a John Deere shop, like a licensed John Deere distributor shop, all that. And he told me, he said, yeah, my boss was in at 3 a.m. this morning because there were so many like emergency things needed. He said one machine that was going down the road had to pull off on the shoulder. And when they pulled off, they broke the axle. And he's like, you know, they got to get their crops done and out of the field. And here they got a broken axle. Unfortunately, this place just happened to have one of those axles, because I'll tell you, the last time the tractor broke, you guys will remember, well, if you heard these past shows, you'd remember that there was just one bolt that the front loader, I just automatically can hook up to the front loader. Well, the little device that is part of the front loader that makes it so all I have to do is drive into the front loader and I pull the lever or push the lever forward and it loads, but puts the front loader on the tractor for me. Well, there was one bolt missing, so it wouldn't work. And I had to go to John Deere to get that fixed. And I was actually down for a week and a half, no tractor, because they didn't have that bolt. They had to order it. Now, could you imagine, just for example, if you had, I think one of the crops that's real sensitive is soybean. If you had soybean on the ground because you'd cut it and hadn't harvested yet, because you have to wait for, I think it's soybean, you have to wait for the humidity to be a certain, like a precise amount of humidity in that crop after it's cut sitting on the ground. I could be wrong about this. It could be wheat or something else. But yeah, you only have a day or two to get it. Otherwise, it's no good. And could you imagine your harvester is down for a week and a half, and that just happens to be right in that timeline where you have to get that one crop out of the ground and processed, man, and get it to market, especially this year. It is crazy what is going on this year with the shortage of fertilizer, the shortage of diesel, the restrictions that are being put on growing food, for crying out loud. I got to tell you, you know, when the future, whatever it is that takes our place on Earth, and they start studying us and kind of having these archaeological type digs, which will probably all be electronic and all be, it'll probably be robots or something that do it. They're just going to be like, so this species depended on food to exist, and for some reason they had some kind of a green religion that prevented them from growing food, so they all, of course, just ceased to exist because they're too stupid to live. They are. They're going to look back and they're just going to be like, what was this species thinking to actually, you know, restrict food growth when they relied on food to survive? Yeah, it's crazy the stuff that's going on. And I have a story today that it has nothing to do with food, but is good. Well, yeah, I guess in a roundabout way, I could link it back to food for sure. I think you could link everything back. You could link probably everything back to growing food because we are dependent on food. Yeah, we got to have food. Funny. We're going to have some food as soon as this is done, too. We have some steaks grilling, cooking. It's going to be delicious. Anyway. Yeah. So the tractor's back in business. Everything's good there. Again, I am just so grateful that we have family here. I'm grateful that we have this little piece of property. And everybody's kind of, you know, looking toward doing the right, you know, doing the right thing. Like getting food, harvesting food, growing food, thinking about food, you know, and energy. We're actually going to do some stuff around here to see about producing some energy. You know, I am anti-solar panel, but solar panels are kind of in the planning phase. You know, it's just going to be one of those things that maybe we do that for a little bit of emergency power. Maybe we do a small windmill for a little bit of emergency power until I can figure out some of this other stuff that's supposed to be so fantastic. Because you know what? As much as I think solar power sucks and that there's actually a negative return on investment, still it's better to have power than not have power. So it may just pay off at just the right time. You know, it could be one of those things that just works out for us. We'll see though, because I don't know how much we want to put into that if we can, you know, kind of keep growing food even without power. And we have some other, you know, auxiliary power. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have, you know, fossil fuel auxiliary power. So we're just looking at some alternatives. But again, I mean, I'm grateful that I have family here. And we can kind of have these discussions and kind of talk about it and discuss whether there is some benefit to doing it or not doing it. And just grateful for Sheck and Crystal and Rochelle and the kids, Hayden, Mason, Sammy, and Jubilee. You know, that's what we got. And, you know, and sometimes we have friends of the family come too. And Whitney has been a visitor here lately, and it's so great to have her here. She really pitches in and is really a great help too. So it's just fantastic. I really kind of just want to take a minute out to thank those people and make sure everybody knows I'm not doing this alone. That's for damn sure. I'm too lazy in a way to do that all by myself. And that is not a joke. I'm really looking forward to have a 3-day weekend this weekend. So this is the first of 3 days. Had a great day today. I'm not kidding. I was batting 1,000. Let me see if I can remember all the stuff I had to go to John Deere, and that was a perfect, like, batting 1,000. I needed 5 bolts. I got 5 bolts, the right 5 bolts. I went to Napa. I got some really good drill bits. Like, these drill bits cut those number 10s like butter, which is awesome. You know, lube them up good. And, yeah, they just like drilled right into them. No problem. The easy out worked just great. No problem, which is amazing. You know, usually you have rusted, busted off freaking bolts. Nope. All worked good. What else did I do? Grocery store. Everything was there that I needed at the grocery store. Oh, and then I had to pick up some quarter minus gravel in the, in the pickup. And sure enough, I mean, I just pull in, get quarter minus gravel, gravel, rock, whatever you want to call it. And actually got a discount. They said, okay, are you a veteran? Are you over 62 and something else? And I go, yeah, I'm all of three of those things. So I got a bit of a discount for that. And yeah, I guess that's it. But man, I'm not kidding. I was like, I can't believe it. Everything I needed was there today. I don't have to wait to fix anything. I'm just going to get back to it. So that was really good. It was a really good day, really good morning. And, you know, by now, showtime, everything is working, you know, like we barely skipped a beat. We just keep going, and it's awesome. Yeah, we're starting to harvest cherries right now. So just imagine all that prep work from last year to this year. Well, we didn't really have to prep very much for the cherries. You kind of do. I mean, you have to make sure to knock down, trim up the branches the year before, you know, like last year. And so the cherries are producing, and we're going to harvest them. We're going to dry some of them. We'll probably freeze some of them. We might make cherry jam or something. I don't know what we're going to do, but you can bet that this year we are going to harvest every single ripe cherry there is on this property because we feel it's that important. And man, I'm looking at all the other fruit trees, and you know, I say this all the time, like right now, everything is awesome. You know, the garden is doing good. The fruit trees are all doing good. Looks like we're going to have fruit on every single tree this year, which we've been working on that orchard for, I don't know, 15 years or something, you know, different trees Oh, okay, I shouldn't say every tree, because I don't think the almond tree, and I don't know if we have olive, but the almond tree I don't think is going to produce this year, but we didn't expect it to. It's only, this is like the second year for it. But like I was saying, like right now, it looks like every tree that could produce fruit is going to produce fruit. And but you never know, man. You never know. You know, a wildfire could come through. You know, some disease could be sprayed on us by the government and ruin our orchard. I would not put it past them one single bit. But right now, I'm thanking God that everything is looking good, you know, so we're kind of right on schedule. I wanted to share with you a feeling that I was having, the last week or so. Okay, last week I told you that I have a surgery date for my left knee. It's going to be August. I already forgot. I think it's August 10th. And is it August 6th or 10th? I don't know. It's out there a ways. It's August sometime. So let me tell you what kind of put me in this mindset all of a sudden. Three nights ago, a car was driving on the highway, which is probably 3.5-4 miles from my house, but I can see it down there in the valley. But there was some road rage incident, and the lead car, I guess, pulled off the shoulder to let the other car pass, and the other car pulled off in front of them, and the person who pulled over first got out of his car and walked up to the other car, and the other driver shot him dead right there on the road. So, you know, and there's been a lot of kind of shootings. You know, last week I was talking about, I talk about all the time carrying a weapon. You know, being ready to defend yourself. And I almost always, I try 100% of the time to be armed, ready to go in case I have to defend myself or anybody else, because I'm not going to let violence happen in front of me. I'm not going to let anybody be abused in front of me. But here's the deal. Like, so I have to go to town once in a while. And I can sort of walk normally sometimes, but I can't 100% of the time because my knee's jacked up. So even if I kind of fake it a little bit, I still look like I'm wounded. You know, like I get the feeling like the predators are looking at the weakest link in the herd and they're just going to be ready to pounce at any moment. And it's just like, that's just the way I feel because, you know, as a young man, I never felt in danger of not being able to physically defend myself or at least put up a fight. And I still always carried a weapon with me, usually a gun. But yeah, man, it's just like having this knee injury kind of makes you stick out like a sore thumb in a way. Because you look wounded. You know, you look wounded. I mean, people today are beating people up for, well, even for no reason, but if they would think that you had something valuable, some money or some, you know, jewelry or some goods, you know, who knows? You would make like an easy target because you look like you probably couldn't defend yourself. And it goes back to my point, like, defend yourself. Be ready to defend yourself. Have a weapon. You know, keep your eyes open. Be alert. Don't put yourself in positions that, you know, you're not aware of your surroundings. I actually have another story this week. I'm just gonna bring it up real quick. Kind of ties in with NASCAR of all things. So it says a NASCAR star, Bobby East, which by the way, I've never heard of him, but it's because he was in a different. Yeah, it's a NASCAR, but it's kind of a smaller league or, you know, more localized league. Anyway, he was stabbed to death. He's 37 years old. He was stabbed to death in California at a gas station while he was filling up his car. And what does it say? Oh, yeah. And the guy who stabbed him to death was killed by SWAT team. NASCAR driver was, Bobby East was a three-time U.S. Auto Club, USAC champion. He was 37 years old. So 37. Like, you know, he wasn't an old guy by any means. He was 37. Like, a lot of people are in great shape at 37. And here he is filling his car up at a gas station, and some idiot stabs him to death. You know? Young, healthy guy. Of course, he's in California. Probably can't carry a gun in California. I don't know if you can or not. Well, yeah, you can. Come to think of it, there's a lot of people in California carrying guns. But I mean, like, if you want to remain legal. Oh, man. But yeah, so just another kind of example. You know, this guy's young and healthy. Here I got, you know, I got a wounded, I was going to say wing, but it's actually a leg. And, yeah, you know, and being 64, not in the best shape of my life ever. And things happen, man. You get old, you know. Thank God, if you live long enough, you're going to be old and suffer stuff that, you know, you just didn't know was coming your way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not complaining. I hope everybody knows. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the facts, man. I feel like that one animal in the herd that's got a bum leg and everybody else is running or swimming across the river. And there's, you know, like a crocodile just eyeballing this one like, ha. He's not going to make it. I'm going to jump on that one. Oh, my goodness. Hey, did you guys hear about this BMW thing? This really is going to blow you away, I think. I was totally blown away by this story. I'm going to actually bring it up so I can share it with you. Welcome to microtransaction hell. Twitter reacts to BMW charging $18 per month to use heated seats. Now listen to this. So I don't know if you've ever had a BMW. I had one. I had a 330 Ci. Probably one of the top cars I've ever owned in my life for driving. For, you know, driver comp, it was just a dream car to drive. Yeah, there are better cars, no doubt. 100%, there are better, faster, smoother, more expensive cars. But BMW has been doing it right for a long time. I've owned one in my lifetime. I'll never own another one. Not interested in it. But good Lord, the one I had was so sweet. Anyway, so now BMW owners are furious that on top of the cost of the luxury car, they'll be required to pay a monthly subscription fee to use features like the heated seats. Per the New York Post, subscription plans recently rolled out in the United Kingdom, Germany, South Korea, and several other markets which include fees for premium features. BMW owners will be forced to pay the equivalent of $18 per month to use heated front seats in their cars. Owners also have the option to pay $180 per year to use their heated seats, or you can opt to spend $300 for a 3-year subscription or $415 for, quote, unlimited access, which you know what that means. It's not unlimited. It's unclear whether subscriptions will be required in the United States at a future date. Now listen, I don't know who thought of this. Like, I mean, have BMW sales been that great that they were like, hey, seems like everybody has so much money buying these Beamers that we ought to put a subscription fee on things. Now it's not just the heated seats. Listen to this. If you want to use the heated steering wheel, there's an additional subscription fee. And if you want to use the adaptive cruise control, that's an additional subscription fee. So like, I don't know how this works, but so you're buying a vehicle, like you're, okay, I'll take that one, and they detail it out, you know, and you do the paperwork, you get all finished, and they hand you your keys, and you're like, sweet, and you're driving home, and you're like, I'm just going to hit this cruise here, and, you know, you hit the cruise, and probably a message comes up on the dash, on the beautiful entertainment system that I'm sure they have in them these days. And it says, would you like to activate your subscription service so you can run your cruise control? And then you start getting kind of hot, you know, you're like, what? A subscription service for my cruise? I'm going to turn on the air conditioner. I'm getting pissed. And you hit the air conditioner and it's like, hey, would you like to activate your subscription service so you can use your air conditioner? I made up the air conditioner part, but not the other part. Who in the hell thought of these things? Like, I have no idea where somebody thought this is going to be a good idea. Maybe it has something to do with green economy. Like, I didn't read anything like that in the article. Like, I didn't read somewhere that, you know, hey, BMW is putting out these vehicles, you know, you can buy it. And, but because whatever, these countries maybe have some restrictions on running your air conditioner while you're driving down the road or using cruise control or heating your seats, they're like, oh yeah, but that's going to use more power, so we need to pay a, you know, a green tax because, you know, now you're using more power than, you know, just the stock BMW with none of the luxury features working. So maybe that's how they're doing it. It's like, yeah, if you're going to use your heated seats, and could you imagine that? So like $18 a month, and you may only use it like, what if you used it 5 times? Or even if you used it 30 times? I mean, so you have to pay a subscription service for these, you know, luxury features on your BMW. So it's kind of like you don't even own your BMW, right? Well, I mean, you own parts of it. I mean, you own all of it, but you can't use all of it. There's got to be some court challenge to this, I would imagine. I just can't see that people would be very thrilled about buying a brand new BMW and not being able to use, you know, these luxury features. Anyway, let me get back on track here. But I did want to point that out. I just thought it was crazy. I kind of want to read this story to you, but maybe I'll save that for Wednesday. That might be a good thing. Remember, you can catch the show every Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Real Liberty Media. Or check out your favorite podcasting source. I'm on, I don't know, 12 or 13, I don't know. I'm on other podcasting services. You can always find me on Buzzsprout, Spotify, Google. I don't know. They haven't, like, nobody's punished me yet, which is kind of amazing. But, I mean, I kind of picked those different places, so they could either use it or not. Most of them are pretty friendly. And, by the way, I'm on Truth, and I'm on Minds. So if you want to check me out on Truth, it's at Redneck Dentist. And on Minds, it's at Redneck Dentist and the number 1, not spelled out, just the number 1, Redneck Dentist 1 on Minds. I was just trying those two out because I wanted to see what they were like. You know, they're not Twitter, which is awesome. And, yeah, so check me out there. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys something that you probably haven't heard before. Well, unless you listen to my Take 5 Moto from, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. So I have a friend who works at the local, this sounds stupid, he works at the local pole yard, which is a timber place that makes power poles. And he was actually telling us that we're in trouble. That we're not able, I say we, as in we, the United States, I don't know if this is just a local thing or if it's a national thing. I would assume it's a national thing. But this local pole producer, it's a power pole, you know, telephone poles. So they harvest trees, they, you know, trim them up, they process them, they have to, you know, seal them up with creosote or whatever, creosote, and, you know, ship them out to be used as power poles. Well, guess what? They can't. They're not able to get diesel. And I was thinking, well, a new service station just opened right down the road, brand new station. It's got diesel pumps. Well, yeah, that's fine if you want to drive your tractor in there and get it, but they actually need diesel as part of the processing to get a telephone pole, you know, treated with creosote. So, or creosote. I can't remember which way it's properly pronounced. So anyway, they can't get a delivery of diesel for their tanks for the, what do you call that thing? Furnace that actually helps, or kiln that actually helps treat these power poles. So even here in the Pacific Northwest, we have Portland General Electric, who this pole yard actually has the contract to provide these power poles to PG&E, and they're not even able to provide the poles that are needed to replace old poles, you know, that they're taking out now. Now, just imagine, we're in hurricane season in the south there. We're in fire season in the West and Midwest, the Rocky Mountains. And then, you know, it's just a short period of time before winter gets here. And you just wait for the first snow and ice storms to start knocking out all these. And I'm not talking about just here in Oregon. Because as far as I know, this process to make power poles is the same across the country. So just imagine, there's only three power pole producers in Oregon. They're all three owned by the same company. They all three are having the exact same problem of getting diesel delivered to the yard so they can use the kilns to make these power poles. And just think, I mean, diesel is needed in every step of this process to get these trees to the pole yard and then to get the power poles out of the pole yard, and guess what? Get them shipped to wherever they need to go by locomotive, which also, I think, runs on diesel. So like from driving up to an area where you are going to logs that are quality enough to be made into power poles. I know that sounds funny, but they have to be a certain height. They have to be kind of symmetrical. Although they can round them out pretty good, you know, if needed. But, you know, you got to drive up there. Most of those rigs require diesel fuel or even gas. And, you know, let's just call it fossil fuel. Well, if there's fossil fuel shortage or the cost of, you know, that is high, then, you know, it's going to take more money to get those logs down to the yard. Every step of that process up there, well, chainsaws use fossil fuel. The log trucks use fossil fuel. The tractors use fossil fuel. You know, the strippers, you know, that strip the limbs off the logs, they use fossil. It's all fossil fuel, you know, propelled business. And then getting them from the where they're cut down in the forest down off the mountain to the yard requires a log truck that runs on diesel. And then, you know, all those tractors that are in the yard, they all run on diesel. And then the kiln or whatever process it is to season these logs, it requires a diesel. And they're not able to get it. So, you know, put this kind of back in the back of your mind at some point, that if there's any kind of disruption of service, like natural disaster, that takes out your power, you know, destroys power poles and puts power lines on the ground, it may be an extended period of time before you get fixed. Because there is just this another weak link not because these places are incapable of producing them, but because the fuel required to produce these poles is not available. Man, I was shocked. I was like, and you know, if you watch my Moto Take 5, which is just a little 5-minute clip I do on my motorcycle. I'm trying to do them every day. Well, every work day for sure. If you watch that, sometimes you'll see me looking into the valley, and the one I did about the power poles, you're actually looking in the valley. You can see this power pole plant from my house. It's sitting right there in the valley. And so it's not far away. It's 5-6 miles from here. And this guy has worked there for as long as I've known him, since 97, basically. And, yeah, he knows what's going on. Matter of fact, he's the guy who runs the processing plant for these power poles, or the actual, I was going to say seasoning. He's the one who seasons the logs. I don't know what it's called now. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, it's another thing. Keep in the back of your mind, hope to God no fires wipe out your power poles, or no storms come in the winter, or no hurricanes take them out, because, yeah, it could be trouble. Thanks so much, Biden. You're doing such an awesome job. Oh, my goodness. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, I want to talk about Liz Cheney for just a minute. So I don't think anybody believes Liz Cheney is a Republican. Like, if you have those kind of ideas that there's two sides to the political system in the United States. But I was thinking to myself as I read something. Well, number one, she's on this committee and she's trying to sell the January 6th thing so hard that, you know, it was an attempt to overthrow the government, which is such a joke. But I was thinking today, she must have hated her husband. So I call her the anti-dick, anti-dick Cheney. But I really kind of want to leave it at just anti-dick, just for fun. But she must have really hated him. I mean, I just can't imagine that they're so different. Like, his ideas were so much different. I mean, he was a little bit kind of a dirty player, you know, power player for sure. But man, she is like so opposite of him. And I don't know if she's trying to make a name for herself, which she is. She's definitely making a name for herself. And she's definitely kind of shutting herself out of a political future, I think. But who knows? I mean, good Lord, the stuff that you hear today. Oh, we are going to play something that, when I heard this today, I was like, oh my gosh, I have got to go get this soundbite, because I actually want to talk about this a little bit. And that's Kamala Harris, some comments she made today. And I was like, I just don't believe that you are so forgetful that you kind of just forgot what happened over the last 2 years. And for you to make the comments that you're going to hear here in just a minute, it's crazy to me. And I have to go back to this idea I have that the current ruling political party does not care one iota what they say or how little sense it makes, because I don't think that they think they're going to relinquish power. You talk about an insurrection. We may be seeing one still. I don't know. They're certainly trying to get us to kill each other. I'm sure about that. And that's probably, I think the possibility of that is probably fairly high. I mean, hell, we're already doing it. Look at people in the streets. I mean, I don't know why some people kill other people, but I have a feeling there's probably some of that political bent going on, which is also why I say, you know, you got to be careful and don't make yourself a target and just, you know, watch out, because people are just pissed. I mean, people are pissed on both sides, both political sides, which is exactly what they want. As long as they can keep us fighting each other, we won't look into their dirty past. I mean, look at Biden and his son and how far back this goes. I briefly looked at an article and I was like, ah, that's not going to make the show tonight. About they're starting to look into Obama's presidency when Biden was the vice president, because there's some messages that, you know, may imply some dirt from Obama's administration. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. But it's just like, so we won't kind of look at those kind of things. And I mean, my optimistic side says people are looking for the truth and they're getting tired of mainstream media. Oh, I got to tell you this before we get to Kamala. So my little local news station, which I can barely stand anyway, I've talked about them before. I love that they're local and that they know kind of the community and the population they're dealing with. But the other day, now I haven't kind of researched this to find out if it was actually a paid advertisement or if they actually included this as a segment as part of the news cycle. But they actually had PolitiFact on. And they're saying, like, okay, because, you know, we're entering the political season, midterm elections, we're going to have PolitiFact on to, you know, to either dispel or verify certain comments. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, who actually trusts PolitiFact? Nobody. Like, nobody in their right mind would take what PolitiFact has to say as gospel, because they're wrong a lot and they lean left of center, which have been proven, you know, by people much brighter and, you know, busier than I am. So I'm like, why did you do that? It was like you were barely worth my time, and mostly it was so I could catch the weather, which I know comes on at exactly 18 minutes after the hour. So really, I can just tune in for, you know, from 18 to 22 minutes and get what I want from you. Because if you're going to start doing this and using PolitiFact as some kind of brainwashing system, yeah, I'm done. Could barely talk. And I really like some of the people. Like, I really like them. They're entertaining and stuff. But, I don't know. And I'm kind of wondering if that's something that's going on all over the country, or if it's just like a local thing or whatever. But let's have kind of a listen to what Kamala Harris had to say today. And I'll probably stop this and make comments. Oh, bear fell over. He was sleeping on the floor, like flat on the floor, and something spooked him in his dream, and he just like fell over. Now he's moved to his cushion. Okay. So let's listen to this. I didn't check the leveling and stuff. Let's just give it a go and see what happens. Here we go. Maybe. Oh, boy. No. I'm going to have to stop this other thing first. Okay, stop that and start this one. Okay. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Pause. Hang on. It kind of looks like it's not going. Oh yeah, I know why. We got to do this. We have to do something. What is it? Where is it? Oh, there it is. There it is. No. Oh yeah, okay. Hang on. It's coming. Almost forgot how to wire things up here. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. All right. I'm going to start it over. Maybe. Yeah, Okay, let's start over just to make sure you hear it all. Oh, for crying out loud, it won't stay. Okay, this is what I have to, I'm sorry. I know this sounds horrible. I have to, no, is that okay? No, it's not okay. Okay, I have to pipe it in here and then not hit stop. I have to just hit pause. So here we go. Unpause. Okay, so first of all, what she said was we have to, a constitutional right was taken away from the women of America. Now, number one, don't see it anywhere in the Constitution that says you have a right to an abortion. I'm just saying, okay, it may have been, you know, decided that 50 years ago, but really it's not in the Constitution anywhere. So let's go on and listen to Kamala. Oh, for God's sakes. Oh. Yeah, I know. It's not planned. Hang on a sec. Pause. Come on, Kamala. I wanted you so much to be on the show today, for crying out loud. Here we go. No. Nope. I mean, does anybody hear that? No. Okay, now, did you happen to catch what she said? That the federal government and governments, state governments, are passing laws that would criminalize healthcare workers and healthcare providers. And she's making it sound as if this is something totally new that just came out of R.V. Wade. Here's the problem, Kamala. For the last 2+ years, the federal government and state governments have criminalized doctors who wanted to provide the appropriate care for people with COVID. But what did the federal governments and state governments do? They charged those doctors, even doctors who simply spoke out against treatments that had been approved in the past, medications that have been used in the past as antiviral medications, even doctors who spoke their mind, who were supposed to be smart enough to challenge ideas and to make sure their patients get the best care, they have criminalized those people for 2 years. They have charged those doctors with malpractice, doctors who were actually providing the appropriate care, doctors who were actually saving people's lives instead of sentencing them to death by putting them in the hospital and putting them on ventilators and such. Yeah, so it's funny for her to come out and say that now governments are doing... Yeah, that's what we have time for. But you get my point. That was Kamala Harris. See you guys next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.